Today is the 9th day of March. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today as we gather around the global campfire and take the next step forward together, which leads us to where we left off yesterday, back into the Book of Numbers. We are reading from the New Living Translation this week. And today, Numbers chapter 11, verse 24 through 13, verse 33. So Moses went out and reported the Lord's words to the people. He gathered the 70 elders and stationed them around the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. Then he gave the 70 elders the same spirit that was upon Moses. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But this never happened again. Two men, Eldad and Medad, had stayed behind in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but they had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet the Spirit rested upon them as well, so they prophesied there in the camp. A young man ran and reported to Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' assistant since his youth, protested, "Moses, my master, make them stop." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them all." Then Moses returned to the camp with the elders of Israel. Now the Lord sent a wind that brought quail from the sea and let them fall all around the camp. For miles in every direction there were quail flying about 3 feet above the ground. So the people went out and caught quail all that day and throughout the night and all the next day too. No one gathered less than 50 bushels. They spread the quail all around the camp to dry. But while they were gorging themselves on the meat, while it was still in their mouths, the anger of the Lord blazed against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague. So that place was called Kibroth Hattava, which means graves of gluttony, because there they buried the people who had craved meat from Egypt. From Kibroth Hattava, the Israelites traveled to Hazeroth, where they stayed for some time. While they were at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses because he had married a Cushite woman. They said, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he spoken through us too?" But the Lord heard them. Now Moses was very humble, more humble than any other person on earth. So immediately the Lord called to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam and said, "Go out to the tabernacle, all three of you." So the three of them went to the tabernacle. Then the Lord descended in the pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle. "Aaron and Miriam," he called, and they stepped forward. And the Lord said to them, "Now listen to what I say. If there were prophets among you, I, the Lord, would reveal myself in visions. I would speak to them in dreams, but not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he is the one I trust. I speak to him face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is. So why were you not afraid to criticize my servant Moses?" The Lord was very angry with them, and he departed. As the cloud moved from above the tabernacle, there stood Miriam, her skin as white as snow from leprosy. When Aaron saw what had happened to her, he cried out to Moses, "Oh, my master, please don't punish us for this sin we have so foolishly committed. Don't let her be like a stillborn baby, already decayed at birth." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "Oh God, I beg you, please heal her." But the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had done nothing more than spit in her face, wouldn't she be defiled for 7 days? So keep her outside the camp for 7 days, and after that she may be accepted back." So Miriam was kept outside the camp for 7 days, and the people waited until she was brought back before they traveled again. and they left Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. The Lord now said to Moses, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. These were the tribes and the names of their leaders. From the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, son of Zakur. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, son of Hori. From Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. From Issachar, Igal, son of Joseph. From Ephraim, Hoshea, son of Nun. From Benjamin, Palti, son of Raphu. From Zebulun, Gadiel, son of Sodi. From Manasseh, son of Joseph, Gadi, son of Susi. From Dan, Amiel, son of Gamali. From Asher, Setur, son of Michael. From Naphtali, Nabi, son of Bosphi. From Gad, Gul, son of Maki. These are the names of the men Moses sent out to explore the land. Moses called Hoshea, son of Nun, by the name Joshua. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops you see. It happened to be the season for harvesting the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near Libo Hamath. Going north, they passed through the Negev and arrived at Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, all descendants of Anak, lived. The ancient town of Hebron was founded 7 years before the Egyptian city of Zoan. When they came to the valley of Eshcol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. They also brought back samples of the pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol, which means cluster, because of the cluster of grapes the Israelite men cut there. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. "We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley." But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought, too." Mark 14, 22 through 52. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. And he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. On the way, Jesus told them, "All of you will desert me, for the scriptures say, 'God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Peter said to him, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me." "No," Peter declared emphatically, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the others vowed the same. They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But no, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." And immediately, even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. "You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss, and you can take him away under guard." As soon as they arrived, Judas walked up to Jesus. "Rabbi," he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But one of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. Jesus asked them, "Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there among you teaching every day." But these things are happening to fulfill what the scriptures say about me. Then all his disciples deserted him and ran away. One young man following behind was clothed only in a long linen shirt. When the mob tried to grab him, he slipped out of his shirt and ran away naked. Psalm 52. For the choir director. A psalm of David regarding the time Doeg the Edomite said to Saul, "David has gone to see Ahimelech." "Why do you boast about your crimes, great warrior? Don't you realize God's justice continues forever? All day long you plot destruction. Your tongue cuts like a sharp razor. You're an expert at telling lies. You love evil more than good and lies more than truth. You love to destroy others with your words, you liar. But God will strike you down once and for all. He will pull you from your home and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see it and be amazed. They will laugh and say, "Look what happens to mighty warriors who do not trust in God. They trust their wealth instead and grow more and more bold in their wickedness." But I am like an olive tree, thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in God's unfailing love. I will praise you forever, O God, for what you have done. I will trust in your good name in the presence of your faithful people. Proverbs 11, 1 through 3. The Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Honesty guides good people. Dishonesty destroys treacherous people. Okay, a couple of things for us to talk about today from our reading. In the book of Numbers, we now have seen spies appointed, one from each of the different tribes of the children of Israel, and they were sent into the promised land to spy it out. There's a reason for this. It's time to go in. And the Lord has established a covenant. He has given laws and statutes, holidays, rituals, the way to worship and communicate with him, the tabernacle in the center of the camp, like all of these things are ready and prepared, and it's time to go into the promised land. And so they're moving toward that. And they're in the wilderness of Zin, which is an actual place. And you can see the wilderness of Zin in the Promised Land films or in the Promised Land book. It is indeed a barren wilderness. I've been there several times, and you can look out over the desert floor imagining the smoke from the fires of what, like a moving city, a million people spread across the desert valley. It's interesting to imagine what that might have looked like, but the spies were sent into the land to find out what was going on, and they did. There's something really interesting embedded in here, though, because they follow a path, and they end up in the city of Hebron, and they go to a place called the Valley of Eshcol. This is where they get the grapes from that they carry back on their shoulders. It's just that we've been there already. On our journey so far this year, we've already been there. Generations back, when we were traveling along with Abraham, his wife Sarah died, and he needed a place to bury her. And so he bought a field from Ephron the Hittites, and there was an associated cave that came along with this field, Cave of Machpelah, in the Valley of Eshcol. So the spies ended up at the place where their patriarch Abraham, the one who originally received the promise of the land, was buried with Isaac and Jacob and their wives. And then they carry grapes back and make their way back to the camp and give a report to the people, who are eagerly waiting because they're ready to go. And the spies come back, and Joshua and Caleb are on board that this is a beautiful land. There are people there. The Lord has delivered them into our hands. We can certainly do this. Let's go. The 10 of the other spies said, "Not so. That's not possible. We can't take this land. There are giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers to them. They are too strong for us." which demoralizes the people. And we'll have to continue the journey tomorrow to find out what happens next. But there is enough here for it to be a supreme mirror in our lives. Because when we begin to sense a pull or a push from God in a direction, and we begin to move in that direction, and we begin to spy out the land, only to find out it's gonna be hard. There are giants there. We look like grasshoppers there. They have walled cities there. It's beautiful, but we can't do it. Then we become demoralized as well. Oddly, the idea of this land of their own, this is the thing that is driving them forward, and they are at the border. But they have decided that after all that they've gone through, and actually all that God has sustained them through, including dismantling Egypt to set them free, that whatever is in this promised land is too big for them. And so there are plenty of things to think about there and apply to our own lives and our own journey. And then we move into the Gospel of Mark, and we are in the Passion narrative again. And so it's really important, actually, for us to pay. I mean, this is the story of our salvation. This is the story of our Savior. And what we witnessed today was certainly the Last Supper and moving to the Garden of Gethsemane for prayer and the disciples falling asleep. And then the crowd, the mob coming to arrest Jesus. And we end our reading today with the fact that everyone abandoned Jesus. He was left alone with the mob. Everyone that was his friend abandoned him and ran away. And this is kind of a thing. When the fire gets turned up, when it seems like it's hot or that there's a risk involved, then it's so easy to just run away. But run away from God? And as ludicrous as it sounds to just say it, we do it all the time. Sometimes in overt, true denial sort of ways, but in other ways, we just disappear into the wall work. We just run away. Kind of like Adam and Eve, they just ran away. They were naked, and so they hid. And we do this in all kinds of ways. We're not the only ones. The idea of slinking back and withdrawing and running away and disappearing, these themes are all throughout the letters that we will read when we get to them in the scriptures, about staying true, about not fading or withdrawing, about not running away. And this also gives us plenty of opportunity for reflection upon our own lives. How have we run away? Where do we slink back and just become part of the wallpaper? Like, how do we do the same things? It's very easy for us to look at the disciples and watch them running away and thinking that that's pretty sad for Jesus and why are they doing this? But if we're in the same situation, who are we? Because even Peter was like, even if I have to die with you, I'm not going to deny you. When we'll see that that wasn't true. It's important for us to examine our posture. It's important for us to examine our hearts in this regard. This is what the gospel is leading us to do. This is what the gospels do. They fundamentally want us to answer the question who we say Jesus is and whether or not we will be a disciple, whether or not we will follow. And so continually having the opportunity to check in with ourselves and invite the Holy Spirit to reveal things about ourselves that we may be hiding from ourselves or that we're just ignoring is important, because this is what it looks like to be vigilant and aware, not asleep, which is something that Jesus has been teaching us, to be awake, alert, aware, vigilant, paying attention, or to say it more like Jesus did, to have eyes to see and ears to hear. So in Numbers, we have the opportunity to think about the giants that are too big and why we can't. Anna Mark, we have the opportunity to think about the ways that we run away. And so, Father, that's plenty to think about. Those are deep things. They may seem like kind of trivial things to think about, but as soon as we start following that path, it goes very, very deep, and we invite your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. And we pray this in the mighty name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website, and it is where you can find out what's going on around here, which you can also do using the Daily Audio Bible app. So check that out. Check out the different sections, like the Daily Audio Bible shop, where there are a number of resources and a number of categories for the journey that we have embarked on and are in the process of moving through together. Also, the community section. This is where to get connected on social media. This is also where the prayer wall lives. And the prayer wall is always available to us. We can always ask for prayer of our brothers and sisters. And we can also offer prayer for and on behalf of our brothers and sisters and let them know that they've been heard and that they're being prayed for. That's the prayer wall. So that's in the community section, and you can check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and given to whoever will listen to it, wherever they may be in their life or on this planet, no matter what time of day or night it may be, to make it available so that anyone can hear, anyone at any time, and to build community around that rhythm so that we're not alone and we know it. And it makes such a difference to know it. And we're not alone. We have one another. We're a family. We're a body in this world. And we act like that when we pray for one another. So that if this has been life-giving for you in your life, then thank you for being life-giving. Thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. But the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, family. This is Oriel Eagle's Wings from Canada. Treasure to treasure. You have had so much sorrow and anguish in your life because of what the enemy has stolen. And now you're needing the blessings of God to replace those. There is a woman who called in from Oregon. She's driving to California to visit her mom, Kathy, who has probably had a stroke and lost her vision and her words. This morning, I want to speak the name of Jesus over you both. Jesus' name is power. Jesus' name is healing. And Jesus' name is life. So for you, treasure to treasure, I am praying the Lord's abundant blessings in your life. You're always blessing others with your prayers. And today, I speak Jesus' blessings over you. Kathy, I speak healing over you in the name of Jesus, that whatever has happened to you will be resolved. You'll have vision and words. And I pray for your daughter, not knowing what she is going to meet when she gets there. And I pray the name of Jesus that brings peace in our hearts and our minds. So in both you ladies, I am lifting you up and remembering you to our heavenly Abba Father. He loves you so much, and he wants to pour his blessings on you, treasure to treasure, and heal your mom.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family, it's Dr. John from Jordan, New York. I need you prayer warriors to saddle up and help one of my patients. Amanda is pregnant at 10 weeks, and the man that she's going to marry, she didn't know had a drug problem, and he has gone off the deep end, and he's gone on a bunch of binges and ran away from rehab where he was supposed to be going into. So Amanda needs prayers for peace. She needs prayers for wisdom and how to deal with this. She needs prayers to not feel alone as she's going through this pregnancy. And Joe needs prayers for release from this addiction and from the legal troubles that he will be facing. So if you all could gather together and pray for Amanda and Joe, I would really appreciate it. Thank you, folks. And yes, I did ask her permission to call and have prayers, which she really appreciated. She was tearful in her appreciation for having other people pray for her. So thank you, family. You guys rock. You're the best. And I love you guys. Make it a great day. Dr. John from Jordan, New York, signing off.
Hi, my name is Bob Kelly. My wife and I, Barbara, are serving as missionaries in Nicaragua, and we've been listeners of the Daily Audio Bible for I don't know how many years, many, many years, and we just want to express our gratitude to Brian for this ministry and for his faithfulness to do this day after day. It enriches our lives tremendously, and we use a lot of the truths that he comments on in our classes in the school that we teach in Nicaragua. So I just want to say thanks to Brian and adelante to the members of this community.
Good morning, Gap friends. Hey, I'm just reaching out for some more prayer for my daughter. She's just going through so much right now, and her impulse control is just lacking. Lots of warning signs, you know, grades are dropping. Last 2 years she was bullied so badly, and then now this year she just seems to, I don't know if it's in response to that, I don't know if it's an adoption issue, because we adopted this sweet girl from the foster care system when she was a year and a half. I don't feel like she's adopted, but I know that our adopted kiddos sometimes feel, you know, they have attachment things that come up, especially at this age. You know, she's 12. But anyway, she's just really, really struggling. My husband, though, I think is struggling just as much as she is. He is having a very difficult behavior, and he can't seem to separate himself from it, and it has just become all-consuming, and he gets so very angry, and I often feel caught in the middle. I was the peacekeeper growing up, you know, and so I'm trying not to step back into that mold of codependency. I find it very difficult, and I'm leaning on God, and I'm just trying not to feel so out of whack and so unsettled. Anyway, I'm praying and praying and praying and praying, and I'm like, well, let me get some help. Let me get some people on board that will help me pray. I love you guys. Always have, always will. Praying for you all the
time. Hi, DAB. This is Gigi from Gville, and everything is going really good with me and the baby and Seth. I just finished the semester, so that was totally a miracle. I remember saying in the beginning of this that if I make it through that the spring semester, it will be an incredible testimony to God, because I knew that there was no way I could do that. I'm actually calling in for prayer requests for my mom. I don't know if you guys know this, but she hasn't been able to walk well on her, I don't know which leg it is actually, but one of her feet has plantar fasciitis, and it's having a really hard time. It's really hot right now and inflamed, and it's just not, she's not really seeing improvement. And so we're just really asking for prayer and wisdom from God about this. Dear God, thank you so much that you know exactly where mom is at with this foot and how it's been discouraging her and worrying her. I pray that you would give us your peace. Thank you, Lord, that you are with her right now and that you are ministering your peace and your comfort to her through the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would show us what we need to do to help her foot. If there's something we don't know, some treatment or some person that would be able to help her, pray that it would be aligned and we would meet and we would understand what needs to happen. And we just pray supernatural healing over that foot, that it would recover right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Hi, my name is Benedicta from Lagos, Nigeria. I'm calling in for Sarah and Sean. I actually get what you guys are going through a lot because I also struggle with masturbation and pornography, and sometimes I have issues in lying. But I just want you guys, I just want to encourage the three of us, including myself, that no matter what, so far we realize that what we're doing is wrong and we're able to repent of our sins, He's always willing to forgive us. And we might fail today, but I just want, there's even a part in Psalm that says that even if they stumble, they will not fall, because I think it's Psalm 88 or so, that even if they stumble, they will not fall, because His right hand, He's going to uphold them. I believe that God's right hand is upholding us and strengthening us and guiding us. And there are some days when it feels like, sometimes even some week, it's been about almost a month now that I couldn't even read the daily audio Bible, and that's because it's been a huge while, and sometimes sin just blocks you off and does everything. But I just want to encourage you, Sean, Sarah, including myself, that let's just keep doing it. Take it one day at a time, one step at a time, and at the end of the race, we'll overcome it and we'll be victors in it, because we're all victorious in Christ Jesus. And that's just all I want to say, and just to encourage you and to pray for everyone. I'm going to pray for you, Sean and Sarah, and you can also pray for me, just knowing that there's someone also going through the exact same thing I'm going through. Might not be the exact same problem, is more than enough to be like encouraging, and at the same time to know that people are praying for you. So just keep praying for yourself, keep praying for others. I'll pray for you, and at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit will guide us through. Amen.